O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week we see the beginning of a new series, Covenant and Kingdom. It's based based upon the Bible primarily, but it's also rooted in a book by Mike Breen called Covenant and Kingdom. If you would like to read a copy, I'm sure we can get some more. Let us know and we'll provide that. Missing the big picture, something that's really easy to do. There are times when we can be so caught up in the immediate, in the detail, and we miss the bigger picture of what is really going on. One day a traveller was walking along a lane. He came across three stonecutters working in a quarry. And each was busy cutting a block of stone, interested in what they were working on. He asked the first stonecutter what he was doing. "I'm cutting a stone." Still no wiser, the traveller turned to the second stonecutter and asked him what he was doing. "I'm cutting this block of stone to make sure that it's square and its dimensions are uniform so that it will fit exactly in its place in the wall." Well, that was a bit closer, but it still was unclear as to what the job was. The traveller turned to the third stonecutter. He seemed to be the happiest. And when asked what he was doing, he says, "I'm building a cathedral." 21st century people often focus on detail before seeing the bigger picture. Indeed, these days with people playing with their little, you know, doodackies, what do you call them, smartphones and other things, you begin to wonder whether they have any view beyond themselves. I think they have some very good TV ads at the moment, aren't they, about people doing this. And of course I've seen the cartoon of heaven. Have you seen that one whereabouts there's a new lot arrive in heaven and they're all walking around like this, but they've got no phone there and the angels are quite puzzled as to what it is that they're up to. But a lot of imagination has got lost itself into a screen. If you're one of them, well, get out of it. There's another world, there's another life. But it is true that 21st century people often focus on the detail before seeing the bigger picture. Now the Bible has a big picture, and very often when it comes to teaching and preaching and so on, we sort of focus in on the little bits here and there and not see the overall purpose of the whole book. Its DNA is made up of two strands or major themes that run through the Bible from beginning and the end. And one is covenant, and one is kingdom. And over the next several weeks, we'll be exploring these two strands. Covenant is about relationship, about two becoming one. It's about being. Kingdom is about responsibility, about what God wants you to do on His behalf. It is about doing. Now, this is really important because one day Jesus is returning to complete the establishment of his kingdom rule, and on that day his glory will fill the earth and all that is messed up and screwed up will be wiped away, and he will restore what was intended and powerfully make all things new. Now, this is good news, but who will celebrate his coming kingdom? This: those who are his fathers, those who his Father has made a covenant with, who have accepted the Father's great promises fulfilled in Jesus, and who by his Spirit receive the inheritance of being his adopted sons and daughters. Followers of Jesus find their identity in him. In the great story of creation, fall, redemption and restoration, we find our identity secure and our hope centered in the Father's loving arms. This story is found in the Bible. But how do we understand the story? It is contained in these two helpful themes of covenant and kingdom. With covenant, we understand our relationship with God and how he has gone after us as our loving Father. With kingdom, we understand God as King and how he has given us responsibility, authority and power to provide glimpses of what Jesus has come to do and will return to complete. But it's not just information we are to know. It's a message that will transform us. You see, we know that it is one thing to confess the Bible to be the Word of God, but it's quite another thing to know how to read the Bible in a way that we let it influence our lives. Indeed, it's really, really very possible to read your Bible for day in and day out and it have no effect on you at all. Just a book. And you've disengaged with what God is wanting to do. You just read its words. And if you read its words as words, they just become lifeless and have no meaning. There can easily be a gap between what we say we believe and how we live. Indeed, we make really bold claims when we say things like the creed. But do we live by them? If God has deliberately given us the Bible in the shape of story, then only as we actively listen to it as story and make it our story will we feel the full impact of its authority and illumination in our lives. So through the two lenses of covenant and kingdom, we can see that God has always been loving and pursuing a people for himself and has called his children to be a kingdom of priests who are a light pointing to Jesus, the light of the world. So let's look at these two words in more detail, and next week we'll look at them in even greater detail, and I might use a flip chart or I might use PowerPoint. We'll just see what happens when we get there. So covenant, as I said, is about relationship, our relationship with God and everyone else. God established this covenant relationship, and so we could draw a triangle like we have here. Father, one of the names, many names of God, one which serves this purpose really well. He is Father. He is our Creator, and He lives, and we live our lives under His loving and generous hand. His heart is always for us, longing for us to enter into His welcome. It's been always His intention. We come down this line of grace here, and we have identity. Our sense of security and confidence comes from God the Father and His grace, not from ourselves or from how others see us. We're God's children. The problem with this is that we are so prone to establish our identity on the basis of what we see goes on in our head or what we believe other people tell us about us. And that's not good news. A, because people can't really see what's going on in our head, so they think you're an absolutely wonderful coping person who's got life well together, and you are, you know, just great. But if you're anything like my head, it's a mess. And those words would not be what I would typically use of myself if I based my interpretation of who I was on what goes on in my head. On the other hand, the people around us may have all sorts of opinions of us. They might have good opinions of us, or they might have bad opinions of us. They might have treated us well, or they might have abused us. And our whole identity can get shaped out of that. I mean, we know this is to be true, isn't it? And so, in effect, what we do is that we form our identity out of our head, which is screwed up half the time, and the imaginations of other people's view of us, which is probably just as stuffed up. Because they're speaking out of their own brokenness and their own woundedness, and if you happen to stand on their corn today, well then, you know. I mean, how many of us really want to be known by our weaknesses? But isn't that the thing that we hit ourselves first for? And the thing we get most defensive about when somebody sort of has a go at us? And all that is evidence of the fact that we're actually struggling with our identity out of our imagination and out of what others are saying, rather than God's view of us. And God's view of us is always right, always complete, and always full of possibility. Because He believes in you. And you've heard me say that many times. I believe it emphatically. So our sense of security and confidence comes from what God the Father and His grace sees. If we rest our confidence in there, our ability then to manage all the crap that might go on becomes ever so much more. And the third word there is obedience at the bottom of the triangle. What we do and how we live will be consistent with our identity. Hear that? What we do and how we live will be consistent with our identity. Whether we find our identity from how our good, perfect and loving Father sees us, or with how we react to our imperfect selves or others' imperfections. If we try to earn our relationship with God through obedience, we will not receive His grace. And that's what the sissy, the arrows all go this way. But there is a real temptation in life to think, well, I've got to get into God's good books, so I will be obedient to Him. But you don't go this way, because you don't want to attend to this, or you don't know. So you struggle with your life, and what we come into is a form of legalism. And we'll either become exhausted or become bitter and disappointed. And I imagine that most of us will know people who are in the life of the church who have now left, who are either bitter and disappointed. And if that's the case, I would almost guarantee that the whole operation, either themselves and the church that they've operated, have been doing this thing. Rather than the biblical order, which is this. Does that make sense? An identity, what God wants us to do is to rest in our identity in Him. An identity He has given us freely so we can love and obey. His call on our lives to extend grace and forgiveness to point to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now the second picture is not quite as bright, but we'll get it. Again, a triangle. Kingdom. It's about responsibility, our responsibility to God and everyone else. Another name for God. He is King. He is supreme. In the New Testament, we see God as Jesus, the King incognito, revealing to His disciples that they are to represent Him by living as He lived, doing as He did, and loving as He loved. Coming down to authority. As King, God clearly has authority to act, but remarkably He has given us the responsibility of representing the life of Jesus and His rule through how we love and give ourselves to others. Power. As the creator and keeper of the universe, God holds incredible power. He chooses to show His love to people, and more surprisingly, through people who carry authority. We cannot do this with our own strength, but we have been given the Spirit of Christ so we can have power to represent His kingdom reign with humility and confidence. Now, if we try to use our own power to show others the King or earn a place in His kingdom, we'll end up attempting to establish our own kingdoms, and we will not know how to receive His authority to live for and serve others. So there's a real temptation to do this and not this. We think, well, I've got to build my kingdom. Boy, there's a lot of hurt people around who have tried to build kingdoms, usually by walking over others, one way or another. God's intention, the arrows all go this way, is that we come into Him, we have His identity in Him, He gives us the authority, out of the authority we have the power then to do, and then we will serve well. All this, God is, and all this God is saying, He is one with us. Everything that God has is now yours. Everything that God has access to, you now have access to. Each of us has complete freedom to talk to God about whatever He's doing. This may be beyond our imagination, but it doesn't take away the awesome truth. So today, as you leave this place, if there's any greater prayer that I would pray for you each individually, is this. Walk away from here as children of God, whose identity is rooted in His view of you and not in yours or anybody else's. Father, you just love us so much. You just want to hang out with us. You just want to be with us. You just want to work that work of transformation, that we would be confident and whole, and that we would treat other people with the wholeness and the respect and the love and dignity that you extend to us. Help us to embrace this and make it our own. Forgive us when we get stuck in our own heads and our own little worlds. Get tied up in the words of others who speak of us or try describing us or accusing us. Help us to stand as your children and out of that identity serve you with power and grace and the authority you've given us. Father, you are King. We are your children. For this we say thank you. Amen.